All right, we want you to turn to James, and we're in chapter number 4 this evening, and we're really moving right along. We've only got 2 chapters to go, and we'll be finished with James. And then what will we do? Stay tuned. You'll find out. James 4, and we're going to look tonight at the first 4 verses. James is a very practical book, and it gives good spiritual advice. So far in James, we've seen the salutation or the greeting in 1:1. We've seen trials and temptations in 1:2-8, where it's more trials than temptations. We've seen poverty and wealth in 1:9-11. We've seen trials and temptations again, but now it's more of the temptations in 1:12-17. We've seen the Word of God in 18-27. We've seen partiality in 2:1-13. We've seen faith and works in 2:14-26. We've seen the use and misuse of the tongue in 3:1-12. And we have seen true and false wisdom in 13-18. Now, in the message we're going to look at this evening, James deals with wicked desires. These are desires that are not right in the Lord's eyes. Unfortunately, we all have old sin natures. And as a result, we have all experienced some desires in our lives that have not been pleasing to the Lord. We don't want that situation to go on and on, but that is a fact because of our old sin natures. Well, let's see what we can learn about them as we study James 4, 1-4. We see in verse 1 that the source of wars and fightings is James' readers' own wicked desires. Verse 1 says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members?" In verse 1, James is identifying the source of wars and fightings among his readers as being the lusts that war within them. From whence is simply from where. As indicated by the italics, come has been supplied by the translators. They might instead have supplied are. Wars are literally armed conflicts, battles, or fights. But when used figuratively, as it is here, they are strifes or quarrels. In biblical literature, fightings is only found in the plural, and it's used of battles fought without weapons. When used figuratively, as in this verse, it is fights, quarrels, or disputes. And so what James is doing here is that he has used 2 different terms which mean approximately the same thing, and this is done for emphasis. Among you, where you is plural and refers to James' readers, the saved Jews of the dispersion, indicates that these quarrels are between James' readers rather than between nations. Somehow these believers are not getting along with each other. It's not between believers and non-believers. The quarrels are believers versus believers. Frankly, I have had more problems in my life from believers than I have had from unbelievers. Now, it should not be this way, but it is. Satan already has unbelievers under his control, so if he can ruin believers by getting them to fight with one another, he's pleased, because by doing this, he adversely affects the cause of Christ, which, of course, is something he wants to do. James then asks a second question by which he reveals the answer to his first question. The structure of this second question in the Greek text indicates that a positive answer is expected. That means a yes answer. Come they not hence? Where come they, as you notice, it's in italics, has been supplied by the translators, and they refers to the wars and fightings or the quarrels, is come they not from here? Or are they not from this? Not negates the supplied verb come or are. When used of place, hence means from here. But when it indicates the reason or source, hence means from this. That's the best way to understand it here. Even of your lusts that war in your members. Of your lusts is from your lusts. Lust is not the word ordinarily translated lusts in the New Testament. This one, when used in a good sense, means pleasures or enjoyments. However, it is usually found in a bad sense in the scriptures, meaning evil pleasures. That war suggests that our warring, this isn't just something that's going on one time, it's going on repeatedly. In your members indicates that the source of the conflicts between James' readers is inside each one of them. The question, come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members, implies, yes, they do. Well, as we move on, although the source of disputes among believers is their own wicked desires, we see that their wicked cravings do not give them what they want, nor do their murderous intents satisfy their cravings any more than their hostilities. They do not receive what they want because they do not ask God. I think I need to stop here just a moment and say something. You know, somebody can be out of line and somebody else can have a dispute with that person who is out of line and not be wrong, okay? It's not always that people are having to have their own way. Sometimes when you stand up for the truth, you will be perceived maybe as a troublemaker, but that doesn't make you one. We must always stand up for the truth, whether it's the word of God or for whatever truth it happens to be. Verse 2 says, ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. In verse 2, James suggests what is going on inside each of his readers, as well as a solution for having their needs met. Ye lust indicates that they have a strong desire to do something and suggests you desire or you long for. Furthermore, its tense indicates that it's an ongoing or repeated matter rather than a one-time matter, and it's understood in the sense of you are lusting or you are desiring or you are longing for. This strong desire is not satisfied, as and have not indicates. Their desires are not met. Why not? They're not getting what they want. You kill as you murder or you commit murder. Its tense is indicating an ongoing action in the sense of you are killing, you are murdering, or you are committing murder. Although they are not actually taking the lives of each other, James' readers are guilty of committing sins of the same sort that, if allowed to go to their logical conclusions, would result in committing murder. And desire to have is, and you plural, covet. In a good sense, desire suggests strive for, show zeal for, or set one's heart on, but in a bad sense, as here. It is used of hostile emotion based on resentment, in the sense of to be moved with envy, to be filled with jealousy, or to be jealous of, which suggests that you have intense negative feelings over someone else's achievements or successes, and is used in this verse in the sense of you are filled with jealousy or envy. Furthermore, its tense indicates that this is an ongoing or repeated matter rather than merely a one-time occurrence. You are desiring, you are continuously or repeatedly filled with jealousy or envy and cannot obtain. You aren't able to get. You aren't able to reach. You can't get what you want. Ye fight is the verb form of the noun fightings in verse 1, and as a verb, fight is its literal meaning when used figuratively, as in this verse. It means fight, quarrel, or dispute. And its present tense indicates that its action is ongoing or repeated, in the sense that you are fighting, you are quarreling, or you are disputing. You are repeatedly fighting, you are repeatedly quarreling, or you are repeatedly disputing. Aren't you glad it's not like that way around here? That'd be a nasty situation to be involved with, but this is what James was writing his readers about. War is you, and it's plural, war, which literally means you make war or you fight, but when used figuratively, as in this verse, it's used of the disputes Christians among themselves have, in the sense of you are in opposition to or you are hostile to. It's using military imagery to demonstrate a hostile attitude of believers toward other believers. In addition, its present tense indicates that this is an ongoing or repeated hostility, in the sense of you are continually or repeatedly warring. You are in continual or repeated opposition to, or you are continually or repeatedly hostile to. Let me stop and say, I am a Bible-believing fundamentalist, but I know that sometimes fundamentalists are titled fighting fundamentalists. And it isn't necessarily that they're always fighting against wrong doctrine or against sin. Often they're characterized as fighting with each other, okay? We do not want to be like that. We want to be pleasing to the Lord. And whether we're pleasing to somebody else, that's their problem to deal with. We want to please the Lord. And I think we need to be careful to keep going in that direction regardless of what else happens in life. Although they're not literally at war with each other, James' readers are guilty of committing sins that, if allowed to go to their logical conclusions, might result in open warfare with each other. Can you imagine some of the churches in which there are armed people because of the possibility of intruders coming in? They start shooting at each other. That would not be a good situation. Yet introduces a mild contrast with ye fight and war. When it's used to introduce a mild contrast, it's the word is ordinarily translated but. Ye have not. Something indicates something that is not presently possessed by you. Because ye ask not indicates the reason ye have not. The tense of ask indicates continual action in the sense of are asking. The suggestion in the context is that you do not ask or you are not asking God in prayer for things you desire. Now, let me just say that God wants to meet our needs, and it's never wrong for us to ask God for things that we think would be helpful. It's never wrong to ask God. He can always say no if he doesn't want to give it to you, okay? If you have a little guy, oh, let's say Ezra's size. He's about 3, as you know. And you can just see him asking Daddy for a knife or a gun. And you can see Daddy's answer. You know what it's going to be, because it's what your answer would be for a 3-year-old. No. Or at least not now. Maybe 10 years from now or 15 years from now, but not now. He couldn't handle it and not hurt himself or somebody else. You understand that. Sometimes we think we need something. God has a better idea. Okay? We need to go with God's thinking on the matter, not with our own. As we go on into verse 3, we see that when they do ask, they do not receive what they want because their motives are not right. When you ask God for something, be certain that your motive is appropriate. You know, it's all right to ask God to bless something that somebody else is doing. But to make you a millionaire or a billionaire is probably not God's will for you, okay? And he might be wanting to do it to consume it upon your desires. Be careful. Ask God for what you need. He already knows. Ask him to meet your need. When they ask, they don't receive because they have wrong motives. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss. Now, I want you to notice there, Joshua, that amiss is one word, not two. Okay? That would give it a different meaning for a young man that would like a miss in his life, all right? Now, if you're a baseball player, you don't want a miss if you're swinging the bat, all right? I just thought I'd pick on Josh a little bit. I haven't picked on him forever, if ever. So, Josh, get used to it. It'll happen again. You ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Verse 3 indicates that whenever they do ask, they're asking with improper motives. Ye ask is the same word translated ye ask in the previous verse. Its present tense indicates continual or repeated action. James is full of these kind of tenses, isn't he? It's understood in the sense of you are asking. And connects ye ask with receive not, which introduces a contrast where and is understood in the sense of but. Ye receive not. You are not receiving. Although they request things in prayer, they are not getting the things they desire. Why not? Their motives are not pure. Stop and think about some of the things perhaps that you have requested in prayer and you didn't get them. Was it because your motives were not pure? Could be. I'm sure we're all guilty of that somewhere along the line. Because introduces the reason they're not obtaining their requests from God. Ye ask amiss, which means you ask badly, suggesting wrongly, in the sense of with a wrong motive or for selfish purposes. Ask suggests are asking for yourselves. Amiss has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which you can't see, but it reads literally, because with a wrong motive you are asking for yourselves, that ye may consume, where ye is you plural, and is referring to James' readers, who are the saved Jews in the dispersion, is you may spend it or spend it freely. It, notice it's in italics, has been supplied by the translators in reference to their request. It is important when you read through the text of Scripture that you identify the pronouns and what they mean, okay, who they refer to or what they refer to, that ye may consume it upon your lusts, in order that or so that on your pleasures, on your enjoyments, or particularly on your evil pleasures or lusts, you may spend it freely. By contrast, believers must pray in accordance with God's will. 1 John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And the implication is that if he hears our request, that we might stand a very good chance of getting what we've asked for. But pray in accordance with God's will. And that doesn't mean that you'll always get what you want. You might be praying for somebody to get saved, and it would be God's will that that person would trust Christ as Savior, but God doesn't force it, okay? Just understand that. You must always realize, though, that even when you are praying with a good motive with or for something, God's answer to your request might still be no, because it is not God's will for you. Now, that might be at this time, or it might be ever. And you must accept it, okay? You must accept it. Did you ever pray for a loved one that the loved one would not die? And the loved one died. You accept it. There's really nothing you can do about it. You asked God, and his answer was no. It's all right. No gives clear direction. We don't always like the word no. But when you ask God for direction and he says no, he's given you direction. You may not know what his will is, but you know what it's not. And that's a good thing. Have you ever been in a situation where you had to make a choice and you weren't sure which one to choose? I'm sure you've been in that situation. It might never be God's will for you, and you must accept it, but always be certain that your motive in praying is proper and God-honoring. In addition, in verse 4, we see that James' readers were guilty of spiritual adultery because they had become friends with the world. He addresses his readers in verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. According to verse 4, James' readers have committed spiritual adultery by becoming overly consumed with the things of the world. They need to note that by doing this, they've placed themselves at odds with God and need to correct this situation. The connection of verse 4 to verses 1 through 3 is apparently that James' readers have become so consumed with obtaining the things they lust after that they have become just like the unsaved crowd and are not loving the Lord their God with all their hearts, souls, minds, and strengths. This constitutes spiritual adultery. Keep God first in your life. Just because the neighbor has a new car doesn't mean you need one, okay? Especially with the cost of them. Jesus addresses his readers this way, as adulterers and adulteresses. The adultery here is spiritual, in which these people have made friends with the world system which crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the system which is headed up by Satan and opposes anything and everything biblical. Know ye not? Introduces a question which expects the positive answer. Yes, you do know. Know ye, where ye is, you plural, referring to James' readers, the saved Jews of the dispersion is negated by not. What they know is that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. What is the friendship of the world? It's the love of the world, where love expresses fondness, and where world is again the system headed up by Satan, which opposes God, Christ, and Christianity. Believers should not be friends with or fond of the world. They should not be lusting after the things of the world. Now, that doesn't mean it's wrong to have a car or to have a house that has a good heating system. That's not the problem. The problem is when we want to have everything the world has to offer. Well, a lot of things that the world has to offer have no good for us as believers. You're familiar with 1 John 2:15 through 17, I think, and if you have not been familiar with it, you soon will be, because it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Love not means stop loving. These believers were loving the things of the world and the things that are in the world. But it's not at all surprising that the believers were loving the world, because when they were saved, when they got saved, this is all they knew. However, they needed to be growing to such a point that they were no longer loving this world system. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, means that the love for God the Father is not in someone who continues loving the world. It suggests that he is actually unsaved. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The lust of the flesh is the desire, the wicked desire, or the evil craving produced by the flesh, meaning by the old sin nature. The lust of the eyes is the evil desire produced by the eyes, or the wicked craving produced by the eyes, which means that as an individual sees something that is forbidden, he wants it. The pride of life is the pretense, the arrogance, or the pride of life, where life is the term used for physical rather than eternal life. In this verse, it is apparently the pretense which is produced by physical life, or the pride which is the result of one's physical life. It could be the pride, pretense, or arrogance in one's possessions, or the pride, pretense, or arrogance in something that life has supposedly given at someone. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The world system is going out of existence. It won't go out of existence quite yet, but it's on its way. And the one that's doing the will of God will go on forever. Or you may be familiar with Romans 12, 1 and 2. I preach that one often enough, you should be. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, those brought about our salvation, by the way, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. We are expected by God to give our lives to him, to live for him. Holy means set apart for him and his use. Acceptable unto God, which means well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service, means this is how you begin to worship God with your mind, by giving yourself to him. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be not conformed to this world suggests stop being conformed to this world, or do not continue to be conformed to this world. But when you got saved, that's all you knew, and you were conformed to this world. But you're to stop and move away from that. It means don't be formed or molded after the world. When it's passive, as it is in this verse, it means formed like or guided by. The same word is translated fashioning in 1 Peter 1:14, which says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. It is to this world, to this world system, or to this age to which believers are to stop their conformity. In other words, believers should not be all wrapped up in everything that's non-Christian, including striving after worldly wisdom. Instead, they ought to be different because they are different. Consequently, their styles, their attitudes, their actions, and their desires ought not to be those things which are characteristic of the ungodly crowd. Now, we need to get back to James 4:4 and finish that up before our time gets away from us. The friendship of the world is enmity with God. It's a timeless truth, something always true under all circumstances. As an adjective, enmity means hostile. However, when used as a noun, like it is in this text, it means that the individual is an enemy, a personal enemy with God or of God. Whosoever is whoever, therefore, draws an inference from the first part of this verse, will be, suggests, wishes to be, wants to be, or desires to be a friend, meaning someone loving, someone kindly disposed to, or someone devoted to the world, suggests he's loving, kindly disposed to, devoted to the world system which crucified the Lord Jesus and persecutes believers while opposing anything and everything pertaining to God. A friend of the world is the enemy, a personal enemy of God. If you're one of those, you've chosen the wrong side. Don't be a friend of the world. When we talk about having quarrels with each other, we should be instead loving each other. John 13:35 says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. If we love each other genuinely, we won't be fighting with each other. In addition, if you really love the Lord, which I believe you do, you will not be loving the world system headed up by Satan, which crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's have prayer, and we'll have Jess come and take a prayer request tonight. Our Father, thank you for the opportunity and privilege of studying thy word. Help us to understand it and to apply its truths to our hearts and minds in Jesus' name. Amen.